Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. We're glad you could be with us this evening. We're here every Thursday at 7 p.m. talking local, regional, and national sports. Our podcast is also up and running on the RCN TV website, and you can watch the show at any time at themorningcall.com. This is our special annual show in which we preview the boys and girls EPC and Colonial League championship games. You can see all four games tomorrow night on RCN TV. And once again this year, we are honored to have an all-star panel giving previews, predictions, and insights into championship night tomorrow night on RCN. So we'll introduce everyone from right to left across your screen. Joe Stellato, head coach at Freedom High School. Eric Snyder, head coach at Catasauqua High School. Former high school and college assistant coach Megan Delagrati. And of course, the co-host of the program, senior sports writer of The Morning Call, and all-around grand poobah, Mr. Keith. Now,
I know Grover. I went to Deriff, but even you said right to left. I think that's left to right
no,
on
no,
your screen.
No, that's on the
No, no. You said on your screen. If you're looking
right.
at it,
stage
if you're looking
right.
at the, but the people at home would be
right,
left to
stage
right.
Stage right. Imagine you're behind us and you're
you
looking
know,
from right to left.
I'm really.
You know, if you'd get here earlier, we could coordinate these things.
I'm bitterly disappointed
now
that
what?
We missed. We
that my introduction of you
no,
wasn't
no,
big
no.
enough.
No, we were snowed out last week because I had a we had an opportunity to have the best RCN broadcaster ever. On the set.
Oh.
The gold standard, the number one guy, Gary Laubach.
Actually, he canceled. Tom Stout was going to be here.
I thought Gary was going to
What do you
on.
Think the show was canceled? Gary doesn't want to do the show gets canceled. Oh, no. That's, you know how things work around here. All right, let's talk some basketball here. A lot of great games coming up. A lot of great games that we saw over the last couple days in the quarterfinals and the semifinals. But first, I do want to, while we have Eric and Joe here, I just want to pick their brain a little bit. Both of your teams are in the district playoffs. And just get your thoughts on your teams. I know both of you have a lot of great senior leadership and upperclassmen. But both of you, and I had the pleasure of coming to both of your practices very early in the year, I noticed that you had some underclassmen that I don't think we're hearing a lot of now, but we might down the road. So, Eric and Joe, if you could talk a little bit about your teams.
Go ahead, Joe. Me first. You did see some young guys, and we're looking forward to seeing them play in the near future. But for now, I have six seniors, and they carried us to where we're at right now, and we're playing some very good basketball. We won the last five games, and beating Liberty really took us to another level of confidence, and unfortunately we've been sitting around for two, you know, it's going to be 2 weeks, but yeah. We got some good scrimmages coming, and we're looking forward to it. We're playing with a lot of confidence right now. Obviously, we're led by Nick King, who averaged 21 points a game, so he had a great, consistent year, we got some guys that are really playing with confidence now behind him, with Tyler Munez and Louis Hargett. You know, they're picking up the scoring, and we got a three-point threat with Justin Benton. So we're playing well. I'm very happy with where we're at right now.
It was great to talk to the kids at both of your schools. They both did a great job with our preseason interviews. Eric, a little bit about the Rough Riders?
Well, we only have one senior, Colin Hawk. He's our center, but he weighs about 120 pounds, 6'2". He battles like crazy, though, really works hard. And the rest of our team, I mean, we only have one, like I said, is all underclassmen. Mm-hmm. We have a freshman that starts in Jalen Green, and Isaiah Graves, all-league, came out the other night. He was supposedly second in MVP voting, but he was on the first team. But we're small. We're one of the smallest teams that I've ever coached at Caddy. But these kids fight and battle and scrap. We were up and down all year. We had a great week where we won three in a row, knocked off Salisbury, and then we qualified for districts, and then we ended up losing to Moravian when we lost to Moravian.
It was a close ball game,
yeah,
too.
If we would have won that, we would have been in the league playoffs. We lost three games. One with 4 seconds to go on a three-pointer, one with 5 seconds to go on a three-pointer, and one with 12 seconds on a three-pointer. So we were about approximately 23 seconds away from being 11-7 instead of 8-10 in the league. So that hurt a lot. But we got good experience, and we play Pine Grove next Saturday. And like Joe said, it's now I know what the Caddy coaches feel like for football when they sit around from the last game to Turkey Day. It's been, you know, you sit there twiddling your thumbs. You try and keep them up, but it's hard.
All right, let's get into the playoff games, and we'll start with the Colonial League girls. And Megan, usually, I said before we came on, usually I try to find some weaknesses and some keys to defeating them. Southern Lehigh girls, there's not a whole lot of weaknesses. They have 48 consecutive Colonial League victories. First of all, what are your thoughts on the Spartans? A lot of the same players that we saw last year dominate are back again this year.
I mean, they had another tremendous season this year. They're on a roll through the Colonial League. They're a very talented group of girls. I see them winning the Colonial League again this year. I think Notre Dame will give them a good game and challenge them a little bit because they were their closest game, Colonial League game this season. But if Southern Lehigh plays up to their potential, I think they'll easily, win another Colonial League championship. you know, the key is for Southern Lehigh is they don't play many people, so they got to stay out of foul trouble. Mm-hmm. And as long as they do that and share the ball and play as a team, I think we'll be looking at them.
You know, Megan, when the Colonial League All-Star team came out, I didn't see Jenna Sear being listed, and I saw them defeat Bethlehem Catholic for the district championship last year, I think I covered them one other time last year, but I thought Jenna Sear was a pretty good player, and she wasn't even on the All League team, so I think they're pretty deep. That's my point.
Well, they had two first team Colonial League girls, Amanda Mobley and Olivia Snyder, and then I think Avery Bennett was an honorable mention, who she really came on strong for the Spartans towards the end of the season. So. Again, and then you didn't even mention Ellie Castle there in the middle, and then Jenna Sear. I mean, they have by far the most talented team.
Now, I don't want to nitpick here, but I did note when I looked at their schedule, they're dominant in the Colonial League. Their non-league games, they had Central Catholic, they blew them out. It's down year for the Vikettes, though, 42-24. They defeated Liberty. They're having a down year on the girls' side, 65-26. They beat Pocono Mountain West. Their only other really tough competition was Cardinal O'Hara, and they lost. Do you think that could hurt them down the road, that the strength of schedule wasn't as strong as some of the other teams they'll face in states?
Absolutely. You know, we were talking about this earlier, adversity. You know, they had really one game where they faced, some big-time adversity, and that was Cardinal O'Hara. They lost to a talented Cardinal O'Hara team, but, hopefully when they get in that situation that, they can rely back on that Cardinal O'Hara game and feel like they can overcome that. But, that's a challenge of playing in the Colonial League, for them. They have to go out and try to schedule those non-conference games. And Dunmore, they had them scheduled, and unfortunately Dunmore backed out, which is why they ended up with Cardinal O'Hara.
And when you schedule a Central Catholic, when you schedule a Liberty, when you even schedule Pocono Mountain West with Perryman up there doing a nice job, you're expecting good competition. Just happened to be that those three teams had a down year.
As far as the championship, Southern Lehigh is a heavy favorite. Is there anything you can see or expect from Josh Kopp? As you mentioned, Southern Lehigh's closest league game was at the hands of Notre Dame. So what would the Crusaders try to do to try to win?
Well, Josh is a great coach. I've coached against him for quite a few seasons, and he'll have his team ready. They're going to play with energy. They're going to play defense. I think the key to that game is Amanda Mobley and Olivia Snyder. If you can take the ball out of their hands, and especially Amanda Mobley, and make someone else initiate the offense and bring the ball up the court and take Snyder and Mobley out of the game, which I'm pretty confident he will do or try to do, make those other role players try to beat you. Yeah. Hopefully that some girls from Notre Dame can hit some shots and go from there.
I want to ask this, Keith and Eric this question because you were there last night. How close were we to an all Notre Dame versus Southern Lehigh Colonial League championship?
Very close. Very close. I was shocked at what I was seeing. But this is the game of high school basketball, and this is why you don't etch anything in stone. I still believe that Bangor is the best team, and I believe there's sizably better than even Notre Dame. They hammered them twice. But on one given night, anything can happen in this sport. And we saw, and I thought we've had some weird games in that new gym of yours up there at Northampton, Northampton.
Yep.
And I've seen some incredible upsets. I saw Wilson, a very strong Wilson team, get beat at the buzzer, a half-court shot time. Strange things have happened. And the lid was on the basket for Bangor was getting layups. They missed a ton of layups. They missed free throws. And Notre Dame played extremely well. That's what it takes. And, Pat Boyle still not really happy. He didn't want to be quoted in the paper, but he was not happy with the non-call at the end there. I don't know what your thoughts were on that.
I couldn't see it. The Southern Lehigh kids were sitting by us in the cameraman where I was. So, they would stand up and you were looking around. So I didn't see what happened at the end. They did bring that up. But Bangor was up 31-21 for seemed like 20 minutes, real life minutes. And they didn't score. The next thing you know, Notre Dame's up 34-31 and had all the momentum. I mean, where we were sitting, Mitch Daniel was, and I talked to Kevin Foley, who used to coach at NACAC and all that, and that kid really impressed me last night, how hard he dug in and how hard he played. And, he doesn't have the world's greatest talent. He's good, don't get me wrong, but his defense and the way he inspired those kids, he was a true leader out there.
It's a big three that brought him back.
But just physical. He took a shot in the mouth the one time. I forget which Bangor player brought the ball through, and he knocked him, hit him back, and got right up and back in his face. And
I think the question I have is, if it's a foul in the second quarter, middle of the second quarter, or even the early third or whatever, is it a foul with the game on the line? Now, I have great respect for our officials and Steve Sorensitz, who I've seen call game-deciding fouls. I was Central Catholic and Whitehall a couple years ago. I covered that game. So you can't say that they're afraid to make that call there. But in this situation, it was kind of a crazy play. There was some contact there. I'm still not quite sure whether I blow the whistle in that situation either. Pat Boyle definitely wanted that call there.
Of course he did.
Well, who wouldn't?
Well, and of course, Bron Holland said, oh, it was a great play by Ben Holland, his son, who got a hand on the ball. But there was also, it was like a defensive back breaking up a pass in football, in my opinion.
Joe, you saw Bangor firsthand. It was funny because when you saw them, up until then, I heard, boy, the Bentons are so good. Boy, Reese Jones is so good. And then after that game, boy, Ben Holland really has a great three-point shot. So,
he played really well that game, obviously, shot the lights out. And you know, we were up eight most of the game, and he just kept fighting back, and they're so well coached. And, you know, they ended up beating us. We didn't make some foul shots, and it cost us the game. And speaking of fouls at the end, we didn't get one of those calls either. We shot a three-pointer in the corner, and I thought we got hit pretty hard, and they didn't call that either. So, you know, I respect the officials. They do a great job for us. But, you know, that end of the game thing is still up in the air. Some officials will tell you. I've heard Jack Keeter tell me, you know, a foul's a foul. It doesn't matter when it is. It's still a foul. And then I heard other guys say, you know, I'm not going to, you know, dictate the game. So, you know. But they do a great job, so you know you take the good with the bad. I've been on the other side of those also.
I will say that, and I know that Southern Illinois is very confident. They're a senior-oriented team. They have eight seniors, I think. Lucas Hudson, Mike Miller, on down the line. They're ready. They're waiting for this moment. This is their moment. Lucas Hudson, for example, is going to be my morning call player of the week. Started for 4 years. Mm-hmm. He never has experienced a championship game. They're primed and ready, but they're getting Bangor at a bad time. Bangor did not play well, got away with one, you know, last night. And the layups that Bangor missed are probably going to fall on at Easton on Friday night.
We played Southern Lee also, you know, and we handled them pretty well. I think it's a matchup thing, and I don't know if Bangor I don't know if Southern Lee matches up with Bangor.
I think their guards do. You know, I think they have better guards.
Yeah, but do they have the big guys?
But they got to deal with the Benton boys. That's a tough task.
That is a very tough task, and they play with a lot of confidence and a lot of swag. So you got to get down there and dirty and play them tough. You know, you got to fight back against them.
Eric and Joe, you face both Bangor and Southern Lee. Would there be keys that you would signal out for either team if Bangor needs to win X and Southern Lehigh needs to win, then why? What needs to happen?
Well, you already mentioned the Southern Lehigh has the better guard play. When they lost Martino, they, you know, it's like cutting a head off of a thing. He was their leader for 4 years, and he made them go. And, I mean, Bron's son is going to be good, and he is good now, but he's not at the level that Martino was. And the other, I mean, Reese Jones is more of a two guard. They don't have that presence out there that, give me the ball, tuck it under his shoulder. All right, now here's what we're going to run. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like you guys said, though, Benton's inside, you bring the Jones boys off the bench. I mean, they're long. They're 6'3", and they're long, so you got a tremendous amount of health length in there. Mm-hmm. And Zamicelli's played well, but he's got to battle them, and the other guys, Miller, they're not as tall, so they're gonna struggle with the size.
Yeah, and it depends on how well Bangor's shooting, because if they're shooting so well, you can't collapse on the big guys. You know, then you got to stay outside. So I think maybe pressure their guards a little bit, the Bangor's guards, pressure them a little bit, and don't let them make an easy entry pass and see what happens that way.
I covered that first game, and Bangor got way out in front of Southern Lehigh, but Southern Lehigh's really scrapped back, and it was with pressure. Mm-hmm. They created, maybe you were down there, Megan, that night, and they fought back with that guard play, with the quickness that they had, which I thought was so important for them. If you saw the game, it's against Salisbury. Yeah. Salisbury just ran out of gas. They're a bigger team, but a slower team. And Southern Lehigh just pushed the tempo. And I think they're going to need a similar type of performance to beat Bangor.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Are you going to make a prediction, or do we have to read tomorrow's paper to see?
Well, here, and I will tout, since you'll never, ever tout me, on December 8th, if you get your copy of the Morning Call out of your archives, I predicted Bangor would beat Southern Lehigh in the Colonial League Boys Championship.
I believe you.
I cannot change my prediction. Now, I was a little erroneous on the EPC prediction, which we'll get to
that?
Later.
Oh, okay.
I did have Allen winning, but I had him beating Parkland and not the team that they're playing.
Do you want me to bring up what you said in our last show, by the way? You said we should rename the Colonial League something else?
Oh, the tournament.
Yeah.
The Slater Invitational.
Yeah.
No, I stand by that.
Because there's a few people that got mad at me for that. And I said, you have
that's
to heckle
okay.
you.
I put it back online the other day.
Okay.
It's still the Slater. This year. Now, next year, I think it's a whole new ball game. And I think Banger comes back to the pack next year once those Benton boys graduate. But this year, it's Banger's title to lose. And it has been from day one, in my opinion.
Well, as Eric pointed out, I think Isaiah Jones, Tony Jones, those are some nice talents to bring off the bench. Colton Holland doesn't get a lot of minutes now anymore, too, and he was a regular in the rotation last year, too. So they have a lot of depth, which I think is a theme for a lot of the teams that are playing tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. All right, you mentioned the EPC. We'll get to them for a few minutes, and then we'll get to our trivia question. On the girls' side, you have Bethlehem Catholic, and you have Easton. I was looking at Easton's roster the other day, and they are now bringing off the bench Mackenzie Myers, who's going to play at Boston University, and who else here? Let me take a peek here. They have Oliver, Roach, and Smith, and Kara Phillips. All of them big-time players on last year's team, and they're coming off the bench this year. I mean, the depth is remarkable, but Becca, I know a lot of people think that's the team to beat. So what do you see as far as the Easton-Becca matchup?
You know, I think Easton's going to be ready to play against them. I do see Becca as the better team and winning. I know they beat them Easton handedly twice during the season. So, but again, you know, like we mentioned earlier, the playoffs are different. Any given night, anything can happen. But again, if I think Becca plays to their potential, you know, they have the inside and the outside combination with, you know, Medina and Luma. And, you know, they have a lot of weapons. Mm-hmm. But if Easton can pressure and if Easton can hit some three-point shots, I think the game will be closer than the previous two. But I do think Becca will pull out with the win.
Yeah. And I remember a couple years ago you signaled out that Natalie Ryan was going to be a player to watch.
Yep.
Hope Brown, very good as a hustler. Tessa Zamoli.
Yeah.
And by the way, if our cameras go out of focus at any time while we're saying anything negative about Becca, full disclosure here, Coach Medina's brother-in-law is operating one of our cameras here. So, Keith, if you want to, don't knock Bethlehem Catholic, otherwise you'll be fuzzy for the rest of the show.
And we also have the uncle of a talented
Snyder.
Player from Southern Lehigh over here. So
that's true.
We all kind of connections here. I'm not involved in anyone, by the way. I had enough trouble.
All right. As far as that matchup, though, you said the perimeter shooting is for Easton. They have the advantage. How about the matchup inside? You have Nila Luma and then a couple different players like Shelby Soccer and Mackenzie.
Myers was sick last game, and I don't even think she played in the semifinals.
Okay, so she's not going to be available?
So I don't know if she's going to be available or not. I think I read that she, you know, didn't play, had the flu maybe or something of that. So, you know, if she plays and plays well, then, you know, you have that big matchup inside. But again, I just think Becca's just too talented overall. You know, I think with Ryan handling the ball at the point guard, you have Zamoli hitting threes, Medina, like you just have too many. Hope Brown, I mean, you just keep going on and on. I just think they're just too talented overall.
And Becca, Coach Medina did go out, have a very tough non-conference schedule and play some very tough teams
from
outside.
They have been tested. They've played some tough teams. And again, unlike Southern Lehigh, they play in a tougher conference, so they've had, you know, some tougher games. I think Parkland was their closest in-season game, but just overall.
All right, we're going to take a break and be back and talk EPC championship and also some general thoughts about the championship night coming up. But right now, our chance to roll out the trivia question and give you a chance to win tonight's prize. It does involve Colonial League basketball. Prior to the Bangor Slaters winning back-to-back championships, who was the last Colonial League team to win in consecutive years on the boys' side? So again, prior to the Slaters, who was the last boys' basketball team to win back-to-back Colonial League boys' championships? Here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
Welcome back to a special edition of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. Our league championship preview, the EPC and Colonial League tournaments, will be played tomorrow night. Our special guests from my left to right, Keith Groller, Megan Delgrotti, Eric Snyder, and Joe Stilato. It's all about keeping Keith happy. You know, that's the secret to the show.
I think you got it wrong again.
He did, yeah.
Left to
you
right.
You got it wrong again.
My
You're
left.
Right.
My left to right. So no, I'm turning over here. I'm going this way. Keith, Megan. You know, the people in the podcast that are listening to us are like, what the hell are you talking about? EPC. Keith accurately predicted a couple months ago Allen was going to be in the championship, but Bethlehem Catholic has had a remarkable season. In fact, memory serves, I don't have this schedule right in front of me, but I think they've lost three league games all by 3 points or less. So, Joe, we'll start with you. Bethlehem Catholic, did you see this year coming? I knew they were going to be good. I didn't think they'd be this good.
I didn't think they'd be this good. I didn't think the young kid was going to turn around the way he did. I mean, he really improved as a player from last year to this year, and he's playing really well. So I think he's the difference in that team. I really do. I mean, Paz is doing a great job, and their other role players are doing a great job. But I think Young has really impressed me and a lot of the other coaches. He's playing good basketball.
Yeah. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I'm surprised he's not playing as much as he has been. I know he got hurt, was missed some time a little bit. But, I mean, when he comes into a game, he really – I've seen him take over games by just his defensive ability, let alone those putback, five-footers he can make. But
yeah, you know, I'm impressed with his foot speed. I didn't think it was that good last year, and he must have worked on it. And made himself into a very good basketball player, so – he alters a lot of shots. You get inside the lane against them, and he alters a lot of shots. And because of that, the defense can really start denying other players the ball, because if they get by him, you're going into the big guy. So it's a nice thing to have inside, and we certainly don't have that at Freedom.
He's
right
only
now.
A junior, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
So. As far as the matchup, Allen and Becca played twice. Becca won the rubber game the other night. Becca almost won. They had the basketball late in the game over at their place in that game that was right after New Year's. So how do you see the Allen-Becca matchup shaking out tomorrow?
Obviously, it's a good one. I see Allen coming out on top. I see them a little extra motivated after that loss. Maybe that's what they needed. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sure Doug wouldn't say that, but in some ways, it's not the greatest thing.
You're not the first
to
person to suggest that.
Yeah, it's not the greatest thing to go in undefeated into the playoffs. Not that I would know, but I would assume it's not the greatest thing. And so that loss might have gave them a refocus and that they might need it, because they looked pretty good the other night.
Yeah, I covered that first game. Mm-hmm. I think it was January 2nd. The third, because third. Second was like the holiday this year when the Rose Bowl was on the second. But it was the third, and Allen had their hands full. Was not completely shocked that Becca won the rematch at Swords. Those kids have a lot of confidence over at Swords Gym. A lot of them had spent time in Doug's youth program, including Justin Paz, who had spent time in the Allentown feeder system there, and he wound up over at Bethlehem Catholic. But I agree with Joe. I think Allen's on a mission right now. They took that loss hard. That loss really bothered them. They had a lot of pride in being undefeated. I think they're going to come back strong. There will be no letdown, that's for sure. Coming off a big win over Pocono Mountain West, which was I thought that was going to be their stumbling block potentially there, didn't happen. So I think Allen's is going to be tough to beat on Friday night. But Becca, you give them a puncher's chance when you have Paz firing them up and Nelson, who hit the big shot the other night. I had not seen him shoot well until that game, and then he hit the big one at the end there. So if they get that outside shooting and Young could wreak some havoc in the paint, they can hang around and maybe steal one at the end.
Well, I think the difference is, too, is Allen's bench.
They're playing extremely well.
And they're role players. I mean, their role players are playing really well, So when the two studs are not, performing, where they need to be, these other guys have really picked it up. I was really impressed with those guys against Pocono Mountain, and I thought that's why they won the game.
J.J. Winslow, I think, is one of the key guys, if not the key. Yeah. If he plays within himself, he is really good. He could take anybody off the dribble, but he's got to make smart decisions once he beats his guy and maybe not launch, 18-footers when he can maybe make a nice pass to Talik Williams or Tyrese Martin inside, or even Ramel Johnson.
Yeah.
And, they got a guy that was in your program, and he's helped them, but Stewart, Tyrese Stewart.
Yep.
and Johnson's played well. Carlos Gutierrez has played very well. It's not just about those two guys.
They don't beat Pocono West
without major contributions from their non-marquee players, and that's what it's going to take against Beckett, too, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I think they do have quite a bench.
And those role players do a good job of stepping up when they're not on the floor, too. They kind of know that, okay, these guys are out, and this is, or Talik is here, this is what we do. Now Tyrese is out there, so we do something different. They really seem to work well as a team. And I want to give you credit, too, because you called that Allen loss.
Remember, I you felt said that they were ready for a loss.
You said they were going to lose one soon.
I didn't know
it was
going to
be sooner rather than round of district playoffs. All right, we have some emails coming in for our guests. We also have Mike on the phone line, wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Mike, welcome to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good, Mike. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm great.
All right, trivia question is, we're looking for the last team prior to Bangor to go back-to-back on the Boys Colonial League Championships.
How about Northern Lehigh?
Oh, there you go. Very good. Remember who was on that team?
Oh, God.
What year?
No, I don't.
All right, the Whalen brothers.
Didn't
they have two brothers on the team? Whalen was
the
big star.
That was in the
80s.
Yeah. I do know who the coach was. It was Rich Orton, who's done a fantastic job at Lehigh ever since.
Yes. All right, Mike, well done.
Thank you.
We'll be in contact with you after the show about collecting your prize.
Sounds good, thanks.
All right, Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Let's squeeze in a couple of emails here before we get to Keith's segment here. First, Laura has a question. Says, I'm not hearing you talk about the girls. We did quite a bit in the first segment, but what are your predictions for the EPC and Colonial League girls? Megan, you just want to quickly rehash what do you expect for the girls?
Sure. I see Southern Lehigh beating Notre Dame in the Colonial. Southern Lehigh hasn't had much competition this year in the Colonial League, and I think as long as they play up to their ability and play well tomorrow, they'll beat Notre Dame. And then Becca beating Easton. They beat them twice already. I think Easton will give them a tougher game tomorrow, but I just think Becca's too talented.
All right, Laura, hopefully you got that one. Robert says, was there anything that Notre Dame did that Southern Lehigh will be able to utilize for tomorrow's Colonial League Championship? Was there anything specific? I know you talked about Bangor missed a lot of shots, and Notre Dame played very aggressively. They slowed it down for a little while. It looked like old Dick Tracy-style basketball there for a while. Daniel just putting the ball under his arm until Bangor extended their defense.
Pressuring the guards and making the smaller guys make and taking Jones. You can't let Jones stand and shoot. If you let him open or give him any kind of inch where he has a quick release, it's going to go. But if you make him shoot off the dribble, or make him penetrate, make him do other things other than shoot, that's going to be a problem. Because you still got, although the Bentons can run the floor and all that, they still get to the rim, but they're not great outside shooters. They're about elbow in, but pressure the guards and make them make plays.
Did they shoot more threes last year? It seemed like they last year would step out a little bit more.
They had Martino dribbling in, kicking out,
yeah,
or Martino just pulling up and shooting a three. Yeah. They don't have that this year.
That's a good point.
They're still good.
All right, one other email here. Don says, who do you like in the Allen game? We kind of are. You gave a prediction, right?
I like Allen to win the game. I think it's going to be very close, though. I think it's going to be a single-digit game. I think the Canaries are on a mission. They've been the best team all year. They haven't always been dominant, but they found a way to get it done. And I just feel like, hey, when you go 21-1 in your regular season, you're a champion, and I think they're going to prove it. Now, whole new ball game once we get back into districts and they have to face all those teams all over again. I don't think they're even that excited about having to play Easton now. Easton gets in there even with a 10-12 record in that eighth spot. And if I'm Emmaus, I'm not thrilled to see Joe and Freedom. Yeah. But we have these matchups. The 6A tournament is really a revisit of the EPC. So, and some of these people don't want to see a familiar face again. I'm sure Allen would rather see somebody from outside the area, like a Pottsville or something, but it's just not to be.
Well, you mentioned the Mayus. That was a shocker to me. But, Joe, I got to give you credit because I saw you a week before the regular season ended. I said, I haven't seen North at all. Do they have a shot at beating someone? And you said, yeah, they're a pretty good team up there.
Yeah, and I really didn't see them play this year, but I've been hearing things and reading up on them, and they are a good team. They have a really good player, and they're playing well. So, they should have won the other night, But they were on a roll there, and they knocked off Emmaus, and Emmaus is going to be hungry, so they're certainly going to be a difficult team to beat in the districts. But we're up for the challenge.
East Stroudsburg North, I got to give them credit. I mean, they first of all, as a basketball team, but even as a school, they brought a lot of people down. I know firsthand. It's about an hour and a half.
It's an hour and a half from
East Stroudsburg North to Emmaus. They brought, I don't know if it's one or two buses they brought down. And that changed the whole culture, changed the whole environment. Because usually that tiny little gym that Emmaus has is an advantage. Their kids pack it in there, and it becomes a hostile environment. Yeah. But they neutralized that, and they took it to an Emmaus team that, in my opinion, was not focused on winning the game. They were more focused on some other things, like a record or two. And they got, and at some point, they forgot that the objective is to win. Yeah. And by the time they realized they were in a game, it was too late. You know,
but
North
just
deserves a lot of credit. They showed they're for real by what they did with Becca.
And they beat the reason I thought they were for real is because they beat Stroudsburg twice. Mm-hmm. And Stroudsburg was coming down here and beating some of our teams, you know. So I knew Stroudsburg was good, and North handled them twice, you know. And so I knew they were a team to reckon with.
All right, before our break, let's squeeze in a phone caller. Luke from Bath wants to talk about the Hawks. Luke, welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. Hello, Luke.
Hey, this is I like the show, guy. Hey, how you doing? I enjoy the show. Thanks for everything you guys do.
We appreciate that.
I just had a question about basically recruiting in the Lehigh Valley. Not all the sports, pretty much, but I follow wrestling more than anything, and also basketball. I see. I follow them all, but basically the Catholic schools, I see Becca is doing well in wrestling, basketball this year. But you look at the rosters and just a lot of recruiting. I think it's really messing with the whole parity in Lehigh Valley high school sports. What makes high school sports great? Just wanted your opinion on this. It's not a new topic, obviously, but I'm just wondering what the future is about transfers and kids, you know, kids coming out of the area. For basketball, you know, but I know kids from Jersey, but that's more, basically it's more of even just in the Lehigh Valley, kids switching schools, you know, for sports, and what do you think the future is? Do you think this could be a slippery slope going forward?
Well, Luke, my two cents is,
the smaller schools.
Luke, my two cents is, this has been going around, when I started in the 80s, this was an issue, and they say, you know, they're going to look at this, look at that. I think, I mean, once you saw the states go and include everyone in terms of states, I don't think there was going to be an argument that this is the way it's going to be for the foreseeable future.
I'm going to go back and say that it's a whole, again, it's a changing culture. We live in an AAU culture where it's not so much the schools. I'm not saying everyone is innocent. I'm not saying every coach is innocent. But what I'm saying is that we live in a culture where guys want to play with other guys. And this AAU thing has taken off to the point that, hey, my buddy, hey, why don't you come over here for the winter? We had such a good time in the summer. Why don't you, and bring him too, and this is how this is done. And the parents, look, I go back, and I did a story recently going back to, if you think this is a new phenomenon, go back to who had two titles taken away from them. Now, I know it was a different deal, it wasn't recruiting, it was just older players and was allowed. Allentown High had two state titles taken away in the 40s. Okay, for ineligible players that were used. In the 60s, I just wrote about this young man who passed away recently, Skip Kintz. Where did he start his career? Spent 2 years, was disgruntled for whatever reason at Stroudsburg. Skip Kintz comes down to Deere if it helps Deere get their streak of District 11 championships going. Look, if people move around, I think it's the way we are now. It's an all-about-me society. And if you're happy with the people you're playing with at the AAU level, things happen. Things happen. Now, do the private schools have advantage? You better believe it. It's a little bit easier to get into a private school than it is to get into a public school, but it can be done. So I really want to hear what Joe and Eric have to say, because it's been the number one topic for years.
It's up to you guys.
Hey, as a coach, it's frustrating when you have a kid in your program for 2 or 3 years and you spend all that energy and power and you give them a lot of playing time, and then they disappear on you. It is frustrating. But with that being said, I certainly would hope that our coaches in our league are not doing that. He mentioned wrestling, you know, and I'm a colleague of Jeff Kerman, and I really believe he doesn't. I think winning recruits itself in that situation where, you know, you're winning and these kids want to go to a winning program. And, you know, so, you know, instead of going and taking on the challenge and saying, I'm going to go to my school where I'm supposed to go and I'm going to help them win, they take the easy route and they say, I'm going to go where they're already winning. But, you know, I'm hoping that our coaches don't do that in this league, but I'm sure it does happen. And unfortunately, there's really nothing we can do about it. We just got to look in the mirror and say, you know, we got to start winning here so we keep these kids.
I think he said that we're just starting this. Well, I think it's, I mean, if
it's,
you think
it's been going on for a while.
And I think we're entering a new phase where I think we're seeing a lot of movement. We're going to see more and more movement each year because you guys both deal with parents. Mm-hmm. It's tough, and dad's upset. My kid's not getting enough playing time. I want to go to a situation where he's going to get an opportunity to score more points, maybe play point guard instead of.
And I think nailed it with the AAU thing. I think they're playing with those kids and exactly how, you know, and hey, come play with us. We need, you know, we need this position or we need that, you know, and I think that's happening a lot.
Yeah. Before we, Megan and Eric, did you want to weigh in on
that? Well, I think it's not just high school. If you look at the college level, it's out of control, the transfers now. And I just saw, like, they have more transfers now in the college, whether it's football, basketball, whatever sport, than ever before. And look at the graduate school now. Like, they don't have to sit out. So, like I said, it's not new, and I think we're only going to see more of it.
Oh, you're welcome to.
Well, real quick, I just always said, look at – if you call it a level playing field, you're wrong.
No.
If you look at these kids' rosters from these schools, you know, I got one from this community. Picture Penn State saying, you know what, we can only recruit from Pennsylvania, no players from outside, and Ohio, all the rest of the Big Ten can use players from around the country. You know, you got to use from your school, and that's it. And, you know, I wish, like we did in Jersey when I coached there. You have the private schools or non-boundary schools versus the boundary schools. You have your own playoffs at the end. And
a lot of people, if you put that on the ballot, a voting ballot, that would win, I think. I think it would win.
The PIAA's got to get some
every
guts
year
and
I
do
go
it.
Out, I go out, I try to go out for the state finals every year, and I seek out Bob Lombardi.
Oh, yeah. I have
too. And one of my first questions, any thoughts about, you know, having two different tournaments or even having a meeting, have the two types of schools playing different tournaments and then maybe meet in a crossover at the end? No. He's about inclusion. He gives, Keith, we're about inclusion, not exclusion. If somebody else wants to take it up, let it be the state legislature. They don't want to touch it. I mean, you know, it was the state legislature that opened the door in the early 70s, and it's been that way since
things
the early
change.
70s. Yeah,
they got to have
yeah.
some guts to do it. They just won't approach it.
Well, because everybody's a fearful of litigation.
Well, how can other states do it?
You know, I don't know.
All right, now this is the time of the show where Keith really gets fired up. It's called Goaler's Grumblings. He gets a sound off on anything that he wants to talk about going on in the world of sports. Keith, take it away.
Well, actually, I think I got my venting out of the way there in the last segment. I'm going to say nothing but good things. I want to congratulate, speaking of wrestling, you know, I'm dying for another state champion to cover in boys basketball, and I'm looking for these guys and a bunch of other guys to get me there one more time before I bid adieu to my career. I would love to cover a state championship boys basketball team in Hershey. It's been 1986. I was 25. Eric and I were 25 years old in 19. That's a long, long time ago. Let's just say that. But look, Nazareth and Becca, thrilling match. I have no horse in the race there. I don't even know the kids pretty much. But hats off to both of those schools, both of those head coaches for a fantastic show in Hershey. A couple other notes about going back to things I've written about recently. I want to commend those Central Catholic kids who got together and really were supportive of the Horwath family. I don't know if you read that story, but the football team stayed intact. They visited this family. They went to dinners. They really cared about this family. Of course, Mr. Horwath died at the age of 50 after a battle with kidney cancer. I want to salute those Central Catholic boys. And also want to salute Mike Vinkovich. Another story I did, 80 years old, he's still out there, he's going to turn 81 on the 4th of July, he's still officiating basketball. God bless him, I just want to be above ground when I'm 80, and this guy's blowing the whistle, wearing that striped shirt. So we're going to stay positive. I also want to thank my recent host. I was up at Nazareth, got good treatment up there, Andy Weaver, we thank you for your kind words up there, and welcoming me to Nazareth that night. Catasauqua did a great job hosting, and even Pleasant Valley, which I don't get up there very often, but Pleasant Valley. We appreciate in the media, we appreciate these schools welcoming us and treating us well and being hospitable. It's an honor to host the playoff game, and it's been a pleasure to cover at these different venues, some of which I don't see very often. And hats off to all these schools, and let's hope we continue right through the rest of the league and the district playoffs.
All right, very good. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, the roundtable, a mix of different topics for our guests right after this timeout. We'll be right back. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special guest, Eric Snyder, head coach at Catasauqua. He's flanked by Joe Stellato, head coach at Freedom, former head coach and assistant college coach Megan Delagrati, and Keith Groller of The Morning Call, senior sports writer, co-host of the program. And what's your title?
I'm glad you got away from that left-right stuff.
I'm just here to make you happy. Okay. I told you that.
Thank you.
What's your title today, Grand Poobah of all media? You established that a couple weeks ago.
You say that stuff, I don't.
Well, you are. Come on, be honest here.
No, I'm just doing, trying to make a living, that's all.
You are the guy.
I'm not going to start singing like I did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was bad. All right, time for the roundtable. Roundtable is where we have a variety of different topics that we put before our panelists, looking for usually a local, regional, national mix. But tonight we're going to focus mostly on the Lehigh Valley High School basketball league playoffs, and then a little district and state playoffs if time permits. So topic number one, what was the best individual that you saw this year? Megan, we'll start off with you. The best individual player that you saw.
Well, when I think, you know, watching the girls, I saw several good performances. I mean, you saw Amanda Mobley had some good games, you know, for Southern Lehigh. You had Blunt from Northampton dominate in the EPC. Then I went down and watched those Cardinal O'Hara girls down in Philadelphia. Yeah. And they walked out in their starting line with four Division I girls. So take your pick from that team. You just, you know, saw a bunch of talented girls.
How do they get all tall ball handlers that go to that school?
And
it's amazing.
And they're all tall. Exactly. They're all guards. They can all shoot threes. Yeah. You know, so, you know, I would have to say individual player was, you know, the four Cardinal or O'Hara team.
All right. Eric, how about you? Best individual player that you saw?
I would say either Tyrese Martin or Iorio. I think Martin had more talent to play with. And, I mean, Iorio rebounded the ball, brought the ball up, played point guard, created things. He did everything. But they're both outstanding players. I mean, they're really good. They can do everything. Yeah. They play all phases of the game. So I'd say those two.
Joe, how about you?
I'll piggyback off of him, but I'll add one. Jalen Vaughn from Pocono Mountain.
Yeah, underrated. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, he just doesn't get the publicity down here, but playing against him and then seeing him play against Allen the other night, exciting player, great player. So I would say, you know, one of those three, you can't go wrong. Yeah.
Keith, how in the world are you going to pick a player of the year this
year? This is my most difficult, and that's why I'm going to send my column tomorrow. I'm looking for guys like these two over here to help me out because I need to get a sampling from the whole area. It's the toughest year I can remember because we said it before. In any given year, David Kakaris wins it. Any other year, Talik Williams wins it. Sam Iorio wins it. Tyrese Martin, Jalen Vaughns.
Nick King should be in the consideration.
Nick King is right there.
And Wagner from Nazareth. Wow.
Right.
Well, I mean, my goodness, who's scoring 41 points in a game? You know, against a team that he didn't have the surrounding talent, but man, did he score this year?
I think I can't remember. I've been doing this for now 30 some years. I can't remember a more star-studded, talented year than what we've had in terms of individual talent. Now, will it translate into somebody making a push toward Hershey? I certainly hope so. We'll see. Time will tell with that.
I think you can say that on the girls' side as well. I mean, Southern Lehigh has several players. Easton has several. Nazareth has several players. Division I player, Becca, of course.
Yep.
So I would think boys and girls, you could argue, this might be one of the deepest teams we've ever seen in terms of individuals in the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah. All league was tough this year to make. Yep.
Topic number two, a real sleeper. And last time we were here, you gave a bogus sleeper pick. You said Whitehall. That was
the way they're playing.
15-3.
They better wake up.
They were
15-3. They're sleeping.
Jinxed them. They've lost four in a row since you made that prediction. But a real sleeper, someone we're not looking at right now, that will come up big in the next few weeks. Joe, we'll start with you.
I guess Parkland, if you want to call them a sleeper. I mean, you know, I think they can play. They can play with these guys. They just have to put it all together in one night. But they can knock anybody off. Yep. Parkland.
Eric.
I was going to say East Stroudsburg North, but they've already done that. I'm going to say Central because they got pretty hot at the end of the year and they beat some good teams. The only thing is, it's that big layoff now, and continue that momentum.
Very good defensive team too. They've shut down a couple good offensive teams. Megan,
I'm going to say the Parkland girls because I think they've had some close games, and you know, Wes always seems to put during playoff time. To get a couple good wins and get his team playing at the highest level at the right time. So I'd have to go with them.
I'm going to go to my man over here, Mr. Stellato,
there you go.
As my sleeper team.
Pressure. pressure.
They went.
Whitehall people are already mad at you for
trying
this.
Trying to stay sleeping.
They were good, and then they had a tough stretch of schedule. Yeah. Lost a bunch in a row. A lot of those games, you know, you could have won. Certainly that Bangor game, you could have won. Finished the year just when it looked like they might not even make districts. They came on strong, clinched the spot. They're dangerous. I think those three and at the bottom of 6A, the two Bethlehem schools, Liberty and Freedom and Easton, they're all potential. I don't know if they can win it. Any of them can win it all, but they could certainly surprise and win a couple games and maybe stun a higher seeded team. They're all worth watching, really.
Don't tell your team that because the Whitehall people are mad at me enough that he lost. Whitehall lost four in a row. All right, and which title game will be the closest before we head to our next break? Keith, we'll start with you. With the four games tomorrow night, which do you think will be the closest matchup?
I think Allen Becker will be close. Boys, I think it's going to be a close game. I'd be shocked if Allen or either of those two teams pulls away with a double-digit win. I think that game is decided in the last 2 minutes.
All right, Megan?
I'm going to have to agree with him. I don't see the girls' games being that close. And, I'll be rooting for those Southern Lehigh boys. With Bangor, but I think the Allen Becker game will be the closest.
Eric?
I'm going to say Southern Lehigh Bangor, only because how close it was last night, and Southern Lehigh's hungry, and it's going to be a really highly competitive game.
Yeah. Joe?
And I'm going to say Allen and Becker also. I thought two good matchups before, so I expect the same.
All right, we'll take our final break of the evening and be back with final thoughts for the league playoffs and a couple thoughts on the district and state playoffs coming up in a few weeks. Final edition of Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call after this break. Final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. Don't forget to check out all the league championship games Friday night on RCN. EPC Girls Live at 6, followed by the boys around 7:30 or so. Then we'll have the Colonial League girls and boys on tape delay starting at 9 p.m. tomorrow. Our special guests, Joe Stellato, Megan Delgrati, Eric Snyder, co-host Keith Groller, and myself, finishing up with our roundtable topics. Topic number 4, who is the most underrated basketball player that you saw this year? Eric? For you, who was the most underrated player that you saw?
I'm going to go down to Saucon Valley with Josh Snead, although he was first-team all-league. But, like, we played them earlier in the year. We ended up beating them. But he really – he was the glue to that team. He kept them together. He scored. He made others better. And he really did a nice job as far as, again, maintaining that team. And they really played well throughout the year, so I'm going to go with him.
They got a tough matchup in that opening round. I think if they had Moravian Academy, they might have had a better shot of getting to the Final Four. So, Joe, how about you?
I'm going to go with my Bethlehem teams, Paz and Hoffman. I thought both of those guys are underrated. Neither one of them made top 15 in our league, or 16 for that matter. But I was surprised not to see those two guys on the top 15, 16 players because I thought they had a pretty good year, especially Paz. I mean, we were going into Becca, without Young. We played him without Young, and I really liked our chances there. And Paz just, took the game over. So I was impressed with both those guys. Hoffman being able to step outside the arc and shoot the ball the way he does. So I was impressed with both of them guys. So I would consider those two guys sleepers.
Keith?
Yeah, I have to agree. That was what stood out to me with Justin Paz not making that all-league team. That was a shocker. That was a stunner. But I know you always have problems with my selections here, but I know he got recognition, but he's still maybe underrated even in his own family. I'm talking about Matt Kakaris. I think he's been phenomenal this year. And in some regards, even more consistent than his brother. His brother is clearly a flashy, flashy talent, and he's got unbelievable skills. But Matt Kakaris, coming off that injury a couple years ago, has just been outstanding day in, day out for Emmaus. And he's been very, very consistent. And, people talk about David, but Matt Kakaris, he might be the engine that makes them go.
He stepped up big in that Whitehall game when Dave fouled out. Yeah. Matt took over and ran the offense in overtime and helped him to that win that got him in the number one seed. Megan, who was the most underrated player you saw this year?
Well, when I think about Becca, I think about Natalie Ryan. She handles the ball a lot for them. And, she, can hit the three. She does a lot of good things, kind of distributes the ball on that team. And, there's a lot of girls that can score so on that team. But I think she does a lot for them.
All right. Topic number 5. We're not going to do a show the next couple weeks because of the expanded playoffs. There'll be games on Thursday night on RCN. So we'll look ahead. What is the most anticipated potential district matchup down the road, or a matchup you'd like to see in the district playoffs? Megan, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go back to Southern Lehigh only has four teams in the district to play, but one of the teams is Pottsville out of the Schuylkill League. And in the Schuylkill League, that's a tough league. They play hard. They're pretty physical. They're tough. And, you know, I think they will, you know, be one of the better teams that Southern Lehigh will face this year. So I think that'll, I think Southern Lehigh will prevail, but I think it will be a tougher game for them.
All right. Very good. Eric?
Caddy in Notre Dame. That means we're going to be Valley Forge, Valley Forge Military Academy if we beat Pine Grove. But I know the, I think it's the 5A boys. There's a lot of good. I was talking with Ben Tanis last night. There's a lot of good teams, and so any of those matchups that comes
everyone
out,
everyone made it.
Everyone made it, and they're all, every one of those teams. He was telling me is capable, in my opinion, capable of winning it. So anything in that 5A, it's you throw them all up in the air, and whoever comes out, there's going to be some good teams that aren't going to states. Because of that.
Yeah. Joe?
I'd like to see Allen versus Freedom. I mean, that would be in the final. But if you didn't see us there, then I would like to see that Allen versus Pocono Mountain West again. That
5,000 point
that,
scores.
That was a fun game to watch. Wow, were they athletic, getting up and down the floor. So, but, it, you know, it's going to be tough because Liberty's, you know, Liberty can very well knock off West, and heck, Easton can knock off Allen. So, but if it came down to it, you know, those two teams.
Keith, final 20 seconds.
Danger Whitehall, Eric was talking about 5A being some different matchups from different leagues. I think Bangor Whitehall, a really good EPC team against what I think is going to be the Colonial League champions. I think it'll be a fantastic game.
All right. My thanks to Keith, Megan, Eric, and Joe for being here. Again, we'll be off, but make sure you check out all the great high school basketball playoffs coming your way on RCN the next few weeks. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.